heart. Oh God, in me do alright, Spirit within me. Created me a clean heart. Oh God, in me do alright, Spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me.
Amen.
Awesome. That was awesome.
Lord, we lift up your holy and mighty name, because you're the holy of holies and there's none like you. We come before you tonight, Lord, to be cleansed, to be challenged, to be lifted up inside of our hearts and our minds, our spirits, Lord, and to grow closer and closer to your precious bleeding side. We bless you and we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for everything that you do. And Lord, we ask that your spirit be in this place. We ask that your anointing be on Brother Naphtali tonight, Lord. Anoint his lips, anoint his words, saturate the word tonight with your spirit. We thank you, Lord, because you are a good God, Lord. You are a caring God, and your thoughts for us are not evil, but for good. And we thank you for all of your generosity towards us. Thank you for every day that we have with you, Lord. Thank you for sparing our lives from death. Thank you for sparing our lives from hellfire, Lord, and writing our names in the book of life. Thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody can be seated. I'm going to welcome Brother Naphtali here.
Awesome.
Yeah, so everybody, this is Brother Naphtali. He's got a YouTube channel. You can check it out anytime. I'm sure he can give you the coordinates for that destination. And we're just blessed to have him here with us tonight. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Thank you for everything. Yes, God bless you guys. God bless everybody. Good to be with you all here. It's a blessing. Thanks, Brother Matt and your wife and all of you for taking the time to be here. It's a true honor, super grateful that you guys that we connected through the videos on YouTube. That's a blessing. I come here today just as your brother, though. You know, I'm no better than any of you. I'm just your brother. And Lord Jesus Christ, your wife reached out to me, Matt, and you know that was awesome the way that she reached out, and we were able to connect. So that's a blessing. As I was thinking about what to talk about today, one of the things that I see that's happening in this world, right, is that slowly but surely all of us, and you know this and I know this, is that in our thought life, in the way that we think on a daily basis, we're going through battles that no one can see. You see, in the exterior, as we're in this room, we can see that I have a plaid shirt, just like your wife, right? You know, we're dressed the same old, right? Some of us have jackets, other have blouses. It depends, but God sees the inner man. God sees the inside of us, and God sees what truly is happening within us. And there's an epidemic. There's an epidemic in terms of our thought life. The devil wants to take control over your thought life, and he does so on a daily basis. And this is how he gets us to compromise. And when I'm going through these scriptures, understand that I'm just going through them as your brother, not because I think I'm better than anybody else. I can tell you that God saved me in 2001, and I still don't know enough scriptures. You know, every day that passes, I think to myself, I want to know more. I got to know more. And a day came, if you want to go to, let's go to Joshua chapter 6. If you want to go to verse 18. You want to go to verse 18. And please, you know, compare everything to the scriptures just to make sure. It says, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourself accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Okay? You guys know the story of Joshua. We all know the story of Joshua. The walls of Jericho came down. But something happened that happens to a lot of us on a daily basis. And that is that we start out on the right path with Jesus Christ, but slowly but surely we begin to compromise. I know that I've been in that position. I know that many don't want to admit it, but I've been in that position where you start walking for the Lord, but little by little, the temptation creeps in. Logical thoughts that sound logical to the ministry in a congregation, and then the ministry in the congregation turns into a business, right? Logical thoughts that you think the grass is greener on the other side, and by the time you get to the other side, you're lost completely, right? So this is why we must always, my brothers, my sisters in the Lord, make sure that we keep the main thing the main thing. Because when we don't keep the main thing, my family, there's simplicity in Jesus Christ. But the devil does not want you to be simplicity in Jesus Christ. He wants you to be confused. He wants you to be anxious. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to logically defy what God has told you to do in your life. And it sounds great. Because seducing spirits know how to seduce you. So they're not going to come to Brother Matt and sound like Brother Tally. No, they're going to go to Brother Matt. They know what he ate last night. They know how he woke up this morning. They know that he has back pain. They know what he's going to. So they'll go to him. They'll attack him in the way that they know they can attack him. This is why we must take control of these thought lives and go back to the Word of God. Because otherwise, family, if you look and understand here in chapter 3 of Joshua, verse 5, right? What was the instruction for their victory? Like Brother Mac, when it says, and Joshua said unto the people, what was the instruction?
Sanctify yourselves.
Sanctify yourselves. What do you think? At no point in time is he saying for you to do more push-ups, do more jumping jacks, get stronger, run 5 laps, right? All of that is good because I like to work out, right? I'm trying to lose weight. But what I'm saying is that the instruction wasn't for you to know how to throw punches better. Wasn't for you to know how to wrestle against the armies that you were going to fight battle. No, it was to sanctify yourself. Right? And then, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Who was going to win the battle, Brother Matt?
The Lord.
The Lord. What did they have to do? All they had to do was trust in the Lord and sanctify themselves. Because God wants His people to be a separate people. So that He can be glorified through us. And it's a daily thing. I'm not here to tell you that I've gotten to that point. I promise you, in 10 years, I'll realize things that I'm doing now that I'll be like, man, what was I doing? You know? But the important thing is that when God convicts you, you have to listen. And when intrusive thoughts arrive, you have to go back to the basics. And the basics is found in the Word of God. Alright? I'm going to skip real quick to 2 Corinthians 10:5 real quick. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're talking about the thought life here. We're talking about the many times that the devil will send people to say things to you that sound destructive. Who do you think is talking to you like that? Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? But it's via the thought life, my brothers, my sisters, in the Lord, that the devil will take you from going from a simple commandment which said unto the people, sanctify yourself, to then leading you to a point where you start lusting and coveting the things of this world. You know, we're in times, family, where I can tell you as a brother, I see it every day. Awesome people that one day were on fire for the Lord, the next day, they're on fire for themselves. You know? What good is it that I get up here and preach and know all the verses, but I'm not living it? What good is it that you have a church that's full of 100 people, but every one of them is going to hell? Right? This is why it's extremely important, my family. And we can't talk about this enough to make sure that as these thoughts start coming, as these imaginations to say, hey, we can take your ministry to the next level. Next level of what? You know, right? Cast down imaginations, take him to the Word of God. Because when you take him to the Word of God, something awesome happens. And that is that God begins to work in your life. Can we go to Joshua real quick? Joshua 7, bro? Alright. Now, how many of you today, right, as you're listening to this, right, have you been at a point where, you know, when you were obeying God, everything was going on point, but then little by little you started making compromises that sounded logical to you, and then you find yourself in a hole, and you find yourself at a point where it's difficult? I know I personally have been there. In the case of Israel, sin came into the camp. Israel had sinned, and they also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put even among their own stuff. Okay? We read verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Now, what had happened is, long story short, is God had given them an instruction, right? Like he gives all of us an instruction. And I know I'm sounding repetitive here, but if we don't go back to the basics, we're going to continue to make the basic mistakes that we make, you know? And in this case, their instruction was to be separate. Sanctify yourself. Be a different people, you know? Be someone that when I see you, I can say, man, something different about that brother, you know? Something's different about that sister. They don't talk like they used to talk. They don't walk like they used to walk. Their ministry isn't trying to hustle me. Something's happening here. What is it? That's what happens is when you allow God to sanctify you, now the glory belongs to him 100%. So what happens is when somebody sees you, my brother, my sister, and the Lord, they have no choice but to say, man, glory to God that he saved Brother Matt from what he used to be. Glory to God that he saved his wife and his family from what they used to be. Right? But my family, how easy it is to start coveting and falling back into the things that we shouldn't do. As we keep on going forward in chapter 7, once you get to verse 19, we see something that happens. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. Typically, when you start sinning, like I said, all of us in the exterior, we can play a part. But there's one who's searching the hearts of every single person in this room today. And he's been searching your heart all morning. He's been searching your heart all week. And just like Joshua went to Achan and said, hide it not from me, do you think you can hide from God? You can't hide from God. You can hide from man. You can throw a couple of hallelujahs. You can do all the right things. You know? But what I'm saying is that God is not, we need to move past the outward. We need to now start working in the interior of ourselves, family. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Look at what he did. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. Think about that. A man who had the sanctification from God, from the Most High, as soon as he saw a Babylonian, something from Babylon, his eyes were, wow. And that's where the logic comes in to say that you can compromise. That's when the devil starts telling you that you can do this, you can do that. And look at what he did. He took the Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, and then I coveted them and took them. Isn't that one of God's commandments for us not to covet? But how easy do we not do that on a daily basis? We've all done it. I've done it. We've all coveted. We've all wanted something we don't have. Or we're always trying to do something, get it to the next level. Let's do this. Maybe this will work. You know what will work? Sanctifying our lives and taking our lives to the Most High. And I am telling you that when you take your life to Jesus Christ, there's nothing more beautiful that happens. There's something special that occurs. Because then at that point in time, you begin to feel that conviction in the heart that no man can put in there. You know? Like, I can preach to you all day. I'm just your brother. No, but nothing special. But that conviction in your heart, that's something that you, and you can, it's unmeasurable. But I coveted them and I took them. I want you to think of that. How is it that Satan went after Eve in the garden? What happened? Anybody know? What happened?
What?
In the garden of Eden, right? What did Satan do to Eve? He lied to her, right? He deceived her, right? Okay, cool. But look at what happened in chapter 3, verse 6, right? It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Think about that. Like, in this case, Achan saw the Babylonish garden. In the of the Garden of Eden, she saw that the tree was good for food. Right? And that it was pleasant to the eyes. My family, Satan's not going to come at you with a pitchfork. He's not going to try to just come at you and you know, he's going to come deceive you. You know, he's going to come and try to tempt you with things that look good for food. And Adam and Eve didn't have what people say is sin nature. Right? They were in the garden. And even then. Right? So whether it's in the Garden of Eden when she saw that the tree was good for food. Whether it was David when he was looking at Bathsheba. Right? Whether it was Achan when he was looking at the Babylonian garden. Whatever it is, no matter what story you find in the scriptures, what you constantly see is that when you take your eyesight off of God, you fall into a position that you begin to rebel against God. And family, let me tell you, there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse than you being in that position that you know what God has called you to do, but you're holding back, or you know what God has called you to do, but you're not the person you used to be. You're not the person you used to be. I know I've been there many times where I found myself about to make a video on a weekend and God's like, you can't make it. Why are you going to make a video? You're not living it. Right? How many times? I just want to encourage you guys today. You know, I don't know, only you guys know what God is convicting you guys of. You know, whether it's that you're at a point that you've taken your eyesight off of God, or maybe you're at a point that you're actually walking in obedience, and because you're walking in obedience, you're going through turmoil. That's also something that could be happening. I know it's hard. I know life is hard. I know that anxiety, depression, you know, all of the things that happen. You know, your friends backstab you. You know, churches mistreat you. Whatever it is, I just want to tell you that no matter what that temptation that you're going through today, that there's a way to escape. And how many of you want that way of escape today?
Amen.
Right? I know I want that way of escape. That's the beautiful thing of Jesus Christ, man. If you go to 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, quite often we talk a lot about, my daughter's autistic, and her and I are always talking about the Word of God. And we talk about temptations, and we talk about the battles that we go through. We talk about the warfare that we have in our minds. And we sometimes can even, she's one of my biggest encouragers, and my wife as well. You know, they're always encouraging me and motivating me, because personally speaking, you know how many times, I'm going to be real with you as your brother, you know how many times I want to quit on a weekly basis? All the time. You know, and there are logical thoughts of, hey, slow down a little bit. Maybe you can spend more time with your family. Hey, have you thought about taking this offer so that maybe you can expand them? The devil is going to come and play the mind games that he knows what to do to take you off of course. But me and my daughter have been talking about this constantly, about the fact that no matter in what you're tempted, okay? I know that you want to justify it and say, but Tally, you don't understand my situation, right? Tally, but you don't know what I'm going through. It's too much. I get it. I've been at steps and at points in time where I myself thought to myself, man, how am I going to do this? But the reality is that he is also going to make a way to escape. This, we have an escape sign there, right? This exit. You have a door over there to exit. You probably can go out there and climb. You've got windows to exit. But we don't want to take the exit. You know? If a fire happened here today, If a cucaracha, a little cockroach was running around here, or a little rat, you'd be running out and trying to escape. You know? But the devil comes into our lives, wreaks havoc, and we don't take the way of escape. You know? And what I'm saying, my family, is as your brother, I want to encourage you today just to remember that God wants you to go back to who you used to be before all of the things that you're going through right now have challenged you. Okay? And what I mean by that is go back to the basics. There's simplicity in Jesus Christ. I know life is hard. I know the battles you go through, whether it's lust, whether it's pornography, whether it's anger, whether it's unforgiveness. What is it? As we're here for a moment, and what I want to do real quick is, before I read this verse, I just want us to pray for a moment, real quick, right there where you're at, okay? All right? And what I want you to do as we're praying is I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to convict you of what is it. In the case of Achan took something that he shouldn't have taken back with him. God wanted him to be sacrificed. He didn't want him to be taken under them spoils and under them things. What is it that you've taken in your spiritual walk that you know that God does not want you to be taken with you? Okay? So as we pray, I want you to be able to ask the Lord that. Because I promise you one thing. He will convict you of it. Alright? Alright, so Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your dear Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your mercy. We want to thank you for the grace that you give us every single day. Father, in this walk, you've called us to be a sanctified people. You've told us in Revelation 18 that we need to come out from among her, come out, and be separate. You've constantly told us that we're to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ on this earth. Yet somehow, some way, like Achan, in this battle, we've taken scars from our past that we should not take. We've taken wounds from church hurt that we should not have. We have unforgiveness in the heart. We have bitterness in the heart. We have unbelief in the heart. We have rage in the heart. We have hurts that people have done to us in the heart. But you're calling us to be a sanctified people. And you're calling us today to go back to those first days when you called us out of the world. Heavenly Father, you know that we didn't know much back then. We didn't know many scriptures. We didn't know much theology. But we knew that Jesus was King. And we knew that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the only way. Jesus Christ is God. And he now dwells within you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. You remember when he went into that physical temple and they had built up tables? And he started destroying those tables of idols? May we allow the Holy Spirit right now to clean our house. Of witchcraft, of horoscopes, of all sorts of diabolical things that we partake in, of being a people that's easily offended, being a people that takes everything just way too personal. What have you taken from your battle that you shouldn't have taken that is now causing your demise in your spiritual walk? Ask the Holy Spirit right there. Ask him. Holy Spirit, as simple as this, Holy Spirit, what do I need to change, Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to do better, Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to turn over to you, Holy Spirit, so that I can go back to that first love? In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, fam, in chapter 2 of Revelation, it tells us in verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That could apply to a lot of us that are trying to do something different in terms of the cookie cutter church, right? But look at what happened. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, and imagine hearing this from the Lord. Nevertheless, I have someone against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Right? Now, as your brother, I'll tell you this, man. One of the hardest things ever is when you find yourself at a point when you lost that first love. You know what I mean? It's one of the hardest things ever when you lost that first love. I can take it off if you want.
It's just the wire.
The wire? You good?
Just gotta just hold it or something.
That's cool. Bam. Is that better?
That's fine.
Perfect. All right. What I don't want to leave here today is without you being in the position as your brother. Listen, I know the battle's hard. My sister, look, this sister was one of the first ones here today. You've gone through work, you've gone through a lot in your life, right? What has God done for you?
Everything.
Everything. When you say everything, give me like an example. Like when will you say?
Well, I was married 55 years before my husband went.
Oh, okay.
And it was wonderful. We went fishing and camping and we traveled around when I retired from nursing.
Okay.
Yeah. And then even that, people kept showing me the way. I knew it was the Lord. You know, you just know. Because he guided me and told me to go to nursing assistant program.
Okay.
And then this woman pastor said, Jean, you should go into a technical school. It's only a year.
Gotcha.
For 12 months and you can be an LPN.
That's awesome.
So this has just been going on and on.
And here you are.
And then one time, when I was younger, I had buck teeth. I remember I went somewhere, and some man said to me, I can do something for you.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't pay any attention to him. But then it wound up when I went to the dentist, and I walked in there, and this man says, I'm going to fix you up right now. Just like that. Then I get you a smile.
That's awesome. Isn't God awesome, though?
Mm-hmm.
That's the crazy part, that these I'll just speak regular. These awe and wonder moments that we have in our life, no one can replace them. Right? What about you, brother? What has God done in your life? Give me an example.
Since I was a kid, you know, my parents are Pentecostal, they're always on the top of us. Whatever. Okay. It's a miracle that me and this guy is still alive. You know, no matter how bad we want to be, you know, because that's the thing to do. It's like something up there won't let us, you know what I mean?
That's God, man. That's Jesus, bro. That's Jesus, man. He loves you a lot, you know that, right? What's up with you? Tell me.
When I was 16, I started smoking.
Woo!
Yeah. So at 36, a man came up to me and says, can I pray for your smoking? And I had my kids with me.
Okay.
He said, oh, yes, yes. He laid the hands on me. I never had another cigarette, and I'm 82 now.
That's awesome. Yeah. God is good.
A lot of things go on.
That's awesome. What about you, sister? What has God done in your life?
Many things.
Okay.
But I would say in just this last week.
Yeah.
As I was driving home last Friday night from work in Lake Mary to DeLand.
Yeah.
I discovered I have a manual shift and I lost second and fourth.
Wow.
So I bypassed BJ's and I kept going and went down 1792. And just prayed, and I was able to get in first, and third, and fifth, and that's how I got home.
Awesome.
I pulled in the driveway, and I tried to get it back in those gears, and they wouldn't go in. I couldn't even get it in the reverse, so I put it back in the first, and it popped, and there was nothing. There was like...
It was broken.
So, but this is how the Lord orchestrated the rest of the time, because I had to be at work Saturday. I had no way to get there.
Yeah.
First, I called my boss. He said, well, let me see what I can do. If you can't get to work, I'll go. Well, in the meantime, he looked it up online, whatever, and he ordered a part he thought it was. It came Saturday night. Well, Then I called my next door neighbor. She couldn't take me to work, but then her mom could take me.
That's awesome.
And it just, the way it all came, and then my boss came Sunday morning, because I had to work at noon. Yeah. He came early Sunday morning, put the part on, and it was ready to go. I mean, it was just like one thing after another, but I could see the hand of the Lord protecting
me. That's God.
Yeah.
What about you, Brett? What about you? What has God done in your life?
Oh, in the last 2 years, I was in a very bad place, doing an awful lot of drugs. The wrong girl, just everything. And then the last 2 years, I was got fired from a job that I was at, and the Lord just had His hand over my life. And one of the best things the Lord did for me was actually meeting Matt and Mark Sakai, and they helped me out of all that. But of course, with the Lord. Glory to God, I mean, I've stopped, smoking, drinking.
That's awesome, man.
Cocaine, all of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm proud of you, man. You see what we're doing here? We're reminding ourselves of what God has done in our lives. The devil does not want you to remember what God has done in your life.
Amen.
You know? What about you, brother? What's up with you?
The Lord brought us all together. He brought us all together, brought me together with Matt Nakaya 12 years ago now, I think.
12 years?
Yeah.
What?
That's crazy. It's been a blessing to me and my life. So, here we are.
That's it. No, that's what's up. You see, the little things like this that we do, what they do, family, is just remind you of the essentials. You know, it's not that complicated. Church shouldn't be this. It's not a spectacle or a show, you know. I don't have to get a jacket and start slaying all in the spirit and that, like that. You know, we don't gotta do none of that. The spectacle and the show, it's cool for the spectacle and the show, but the reality is that, you know, each and every single one of you have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit wants to have a deeper relationship with us, man. That's all there is. That's what I'm saying. And what we did here today, just talking a little bit, right? Like, her, all her, she remembers something from 16 years old. Mm. Right?
Oh, and I know another.
What's the other? Tell me that. Yeah.
My mother and my father was very Catholic.
Okay.
My mother, she didn't go to church at all. Anyways, when they both got sick, I told my mother, you know, when I was saved, I kept saying, I have this peace. So she kept asking me, do you still have that peace? I said, yes, I sure do. Well, when she was dying, I asked this minister if he'd go see her at the hospital. So he did. And when she died, he told me, well, she was saved, said he. Had the prayer and everything, and she said, you mean I can have God too? Yeah. And then my father, he went along with the prayer and everything. So I'm praying for the rest of the family.
In Jesus' name, you know? See, you have to remember these things. This is to remember three things in less than 10 minutes. Right? So I want you to think about that. Okay? Brother Matt, your wife, you guys are doing this congregation, right? As you're at work or with your family, you're in the car, my sister, or you, brother, you know how the devil's going to come at you in your mind. He's going to bring you all sorts of thoughts, man, that you're not good enough, that, you know, especially when we sin, you know. What did Achan do when he sinned? He hid it. What did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? They tried to hide. God is a gentleman, so God is like, where are you, Adam, right? Where are you, Eve? He knew where they were. He knows where all of us are right now. So wherever you're at, you know, all I'm saying, family, I'm just here to encourage you and just remind you that just as we were just able to talk a little bit of the things that God has done in you, especially for you young kids, man, never forget, man. Never forget what God has done in your life, you know? You guys are awesome, beautiful kids, and you're serving the Lord, and it's awesome. You know what I mean? Have that joyfulness about you and rejoice even in the most difficult of things. Because the devil doesn't want you to do that. I mean, the devil wants you to be in a position that you're always whining, complaining, this is not working out, that's not going. Nah, listen, yeah, we're going to go through problems and we have a problem, so we got to vent. I vent to my family all the time. But after you vent, it's time to get going. It's time to get going.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
So I want us to pray real quick. Brother Matt, can you lead us in prayer? Amen. If that's cool.
Yep.
And as we pray, listen, if you feel like you need any type of prayer or anything like that afterwards, let me know. We're here for you. You know, you guys are in great hands with Brother Matt and his wife and family. We look forward to passing by here more often. For those that are online, if you want to pass by as well, it's at 7 o'clock on Thursdays. And I'll put the address on the screen so that we can support you guys, you know. And be like my sister here. Every day, remember the things that God has done for you. All right? Because that's the one thing the devil doesn't want you to do. You know, he doesn't want you to remember that he freed you from cocaine. He doesn't want you to remember that. He doesn't want you to remember that he's done the things that he's done for you. But it's only one who did them. That's Jesus, right?
Amen.
All right? So, Brother Matt, you want to do this in prayer real quick?
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, for taking us out of darkness and into your marvelous light, Lord. Thank you for freeing us from all the chains and all the bondage and all the prison cells, Lord. You've unlocked every lock that's had us into captivity, and you freed us and set us free. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord Jesus. Lord, we choose your word over our own feelings, over our own emotions, over our own ideas and our own imaginations inside of us, Lord. We will see 10,000 fall at our right and 10,000 at our left, Lord, but we will stay standing in you. Stay standing and building our house on the rock